Hey everybody, welcome back to another Oversharing 5.5, where we have to tie up a little bit of loose ends. Oh, there's my kitty. What's up, Snickers? And my new recording situation, I figured I would show my cat. And wow, that's great. You could see her shadow. That is hilarious. I'm going to switch to speaker view so you could see her full blackness and then her shadow. Anyway, so we have a whole host of things we're going to talk about today. Really excited. We just talked about them. And we got everything prepared for everybody so we can sound like we actually have our stuff together. And I have my new camera, which is working out well. I decided to go without a background. I wanted everybody to see exactly what's going on. Oops, but I have a window behind me, so I covered it so I don't get a reflection. But anywho, what's going on, Sharon?
You wanted to be transparent.
Ooh, yeah. I was like, you know what? I mean, it was cool to have that, but it was messing up my thing and you couldn't see my cat's shadow. And, you know,
it was cramping your style.
It was cramping my style. You know, everyone's like, Brandon, why you got to be so fake? No,
it was making you fuzzy and like cutting you in and out. Yeah,
everybody wants to see me. Anyway, I forgot we were recording. I thought we were just, this is how we talk. I'm like, Sharon, look into my eyes. Anyway. 5.5, Sharon, we made it. This is our 11th episode.
Wow. Too bad we couldn't do it on the 11th.
I know. Today, people are going to be watching this. It's 11-4. Next week's going to be 11-11. So today's the 11th episode. But if you take out the zero, which has no value, it would be the 11th. Like, it's so this is the thing. Officially, it's the 11th official episode. But the zero makes it the 12th, but that's only for those in the know. That's for it's occulted. So technically, we'll be the 11th episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're potentially planning on having, you know, episodes that are underground episodes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We have a Telegram that we started, everybody. It's, I actually downloaded or I got the video for episode zero ready for that today, and I couldn't figure out how to get it into the thing right. I don't know. Anyway, we'll figure it out, but we're going to put all the video and audio into there. I forgot what it was. I remember what it was. I have to make it smaller. That's all, but it's okay because if you're watching on Telegram, you're probably going to be watching on your phone anyway. So I'm going to make it smaller. It'll be more about the audio, but you could still see our small little faces. You can crush our heads. It'll be a lot of fun. So yeah. So look for that. We'll put a link underneath. So if you're on Telegram, if you're not on Telegram, what are you doing with your life? Get on there and
for everybody's follow that. Us.
All the
everybody
cool
who's
kids.
Anybody, at least.
Hello. Oh my God. Yes. Totally.
I mean, God.
I almost said totally not in the Valley voice. Okay. So today we're going to be talking about, again, because last week we talked about the false scarcity of resources. And to recap, if you're new to the show, first of all, thank you for watching. Make sure you hit the thumbs up and subscribe. Everybody that's watching this, hit the thumbs up. Well, you know, I noticed we have a really high ratio thumbs up to people watched, which is great. Thank you, everybody who thumbs up. So it's not like I'm going to harass people. But anyway, the idea of false scarcity of resources, what that is, it's kind of like we like to look at oil. That's the one that everybody knows. You know, think about how oil prices are always going up right now. They're very high. Gas prices are really high. And they say it's because, I mean, I don't pay attention now, but I know in the past they've said, oh, it's because there's not as much and we're not making as much and it's harder to find, you know, all these reasons. And it's used a lot in the political spectrum. But we talked about last week, if you go back in a little bit of history, if you just go back in the newspapers 100 years or whatever, they were talking about the same kind of stuff. They're always kind of recycling these stories about how oil is going to run out and it's always scary. And they, like we said, it always seemed to line up with like a political event that was going on or something, you know, like another distraction, allegedly. So that's what we're talking about with false scarcity resources. And so we covered that. So go back and watch that if you haven't. But if you have, or if you haven't, just watch this and you're going to love it anyway. I know this because I'm very excited about it. But so what's the first thing we're going to be talking about today, Sharon?
So you were telling me that you've been talking to people, or you were talking to some, you know, can we say normies?
Yeah, and just people in my regular life of being a DJ and running around and just talking to people who don't have exactly, you know, the same point of view on the world as me. I guess we could say, yeah, normies is what some people call them.
But you were talking to them about it and you said they seemed quite open to this idea. because you were telling them about the show you just did, or I don't know how you brought it up, but can you tell us about how they responded to you?
Yeah, I actually had a really good response to this one. I was just talking to some people, and every time I meet people and we talk, I'll tell them, like, you know, I do podcasts and comedy and all this stuff. And they'll ask me what my podcast is about. And I just happened to be mentioning this to a few people about the scarcity of resource, and it really resonated with them. They kind of see how it does seem like it's a cycle, and that some of the stuff does seem contrived, or maybe not exactly what they say. Like, I think most people realize that there's corruption at the top, and they're just, it's just like a given at this point. You know, it's kind of part of the way that the revelation of method is done. It's just people know there's all this corruption. So when you tell them this, they're open. Most people I know are pretty open to this idea, but then I can expand on it further. And then you go into the ideas of gold and silver and food and spirituality, like we talked about last week. And it's a way to put your foot in the door without really woke raping people. So that's what I found with it. And that's why I wanted to mention it, because if you're someone who's listening to the show and you have somebody in your life that is seeking some truth, or seems like they're knocking on the door, but they're not receptive to a lot of things, this is something that might work. Tell them about oil, about diamonds. You know, the diamonds is an easy one. You know, it's so, you know, they're just, they don't need to be as expensive as they are. There's tons of them. They just have them locked up somewhere, allegedly. So, yeah.
Yeah. You were also talking about, which was, seemed to be like a total sink. The synchronicity that you were listening to Owen Benjamin on November 1st. What was that, yesterday?
Yeah. Well, for Monday, well, for the people, for the people behind, yeah, the scenes. Yeah, no.
For the people who are listening on 11/4, it was several days ago. But, and that was episode 1254, 1254. But what was he talking about with respect to jet fuel? And please give us a little update on that. And maybe you have the clip.
I do have the clip. So let me bring up the clip. So he's talking about scarcity of resources also, or false scarcity of resource. But he was talking about in the respect of jet fuel, because he was saying how he has these clips on TikTok, and the most amount of kickback, I guess you'd say, he gets or hate or whatever, or people spiraling, is when he talks about jet fuel. Like he said, he's talking about Keanu Reeves being, you know, not a man or a lesbian or something, and he got some kickback, but he said when he talked about this, it was way worse. So here he is talking about it. Oh wait, can you hear it, by the way?
Mm-mm, no.
Yeah, that's because I am making rookie mistakes on the oversharing show. That's what we do, but it's all right because now you get to hear me sing. All right, share sound. There we go. Now we'll go back to Owen Benjamin talking about this. Oh, wait, no, this is the wrong clip. This is the wrong clip. You know, sometimes.
Oh.
When you feel, what's up?
I don't know why I said that.
Anyway,
because you were looking for another clip about something else, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Totally. But I had it. Maybe I don't have it. Oh, well, that's all right. I could talk about what he has. I might have.
You did have it.
Mistake. Yeah. I don't think I know it. But it was on its own. Anyway, so he's talking about jet fuel and how that there's no way that you could fit the amount of jet fuel that you're supposed to fit onto a jet. So he was showing some pictures and all this stuff. And I guess people were just really flipping out about it. They were very attached to this whole idea that
they have tons and tons of jet fuel on those airliners.
Exactly. And the way he breaks it down, I would just, I guess, you know, suggest go and checking his channel out in this episode. Oh, I think I found it. Yay. So let me bring it to the share again. I did find it. So let's see here. Yeah, it was really funny. He does it like really quick. So, oh, wait a minute. Here we go. All right. So
to fill the plane's wings with that, do you understand the physics behind putting 400,000 pounds of weight on inside wings? And then they go, but why would they lie? The energy scam, guys. And this brings me to like the point I was really going to make today about what lowering carbon means.
Oh, we'll save that for another one. But that was anyway. So that's where he was showing right in the beginning of the clip ahead. So meticulously ready to go before. But he's showing that he shows a blueprint of a 747.
Most I've ever seen.
Yeah, here it
but
is.
But okay. Other people are uploading videos of mine and they go really viral. And I read some of the comments because I'm trying to gauge.
This is exactly
if people are getting it. And a lot of people are getting it, but there is a lot of negativity. And people call me crazy and stupid. The most out of all of it is for the fucking jet fuel hoax. And so I'm just going to settle this once and for all right now with these just simple images. So this plane, okay, there's the blueprint for the plane. The plane, that's the plane. 747, okay? We've all seen them. That's the plane. It is alleged that that amount of fuel is inside the plane. 60,000 gallons of jet fuel. Dude. That's 450,000 pounds.
Okay, so I think that's enough.
450,000 pounds?
Yeah. So, you
know. That's insanity.
It's just little things like that. And it's, you know, the thing is, though, there's a vacuum. There's an unknown of, well, then how do they fly them? Like, what is it really about? And that's, see, that's where I say the burden of evidence is on the state. The burden's on the state. Like, I don't have to prove nothing. I'm just showing you that's ridiculous. There's got to be something going on. And I used to work on jets in the Marine Corps, you know, so I don't know what the hell's going on. I don't know. I really don't. But I know they do use jet fuel. There is jet fuel that's used. There's probably just some other system that they're just not explaining to us. They just don't need as much as they're saying. And it's, again, it just falls into the false scarcity of resources.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of more on the deception level and just being deceived by the entities, I don't like to say that word. Not that I don't like it, but I'm just trying to use the right word. The corporations, the whatever, like the military, for example. And we're coming up on November 11th in about a week and ish. And what can you tell us about your service and how those things went? And I think you specifically told me something about how you felt when people would tell you thank you for your service.
Yeah, that's a really good place to start. So I went through this whole transition of how I feel about that. Because at first, when I was in from 1994 to 1998 active duty. And, you know, people like, oh, that was cool. You were in the Marines. And a lot of people thought it was cool, but there wasn't this worship that there is these days. You know, people are like, oh, that's cool. But, you know, North Carolina, everyone's like, get the fuck out of here. We don't care. There's like a million of you, you know, but it was a much different time. So now I like after 9/11 and these wars and stuff, people started to thank you for your service all the time. Like, thank you for your service. And it became this thing. And, you know, 2012 to 2016, it was like really people were like, you know, bending over backwards and making sure it was kind of like if you sneezed and someone doesn't say bless you, they consider it rude. It's like, hey, I was in the Marines. And if somebody didn't say thank you for your service, they felt like they were being rude. Like even when I was doing comedy, I would say I was in the Marines and like people would like clap or whatever, like thank you for, you know. And then I would say, yeah, but you don't know what I did. You don't know what you're thanking me for, guys. Like, you have no idea. Like, I threw plastic into the ocean, allegedly. That's a whole other story. But anyway, so tons of it, man. So I was, at that point, I was looking into a lot of the truth of the wars and what was going on in the Middle East and the war in Afghanistan and all that stuff. And I was coming to some conclusions about how it didn't make sense. I felt like we probably didn't need to be there. And then the Pentagon Papers came out in late 2019 that affirmed exactly what I was saying. The Pentagon agreed with me, which is crazy. They said we should have never went there. But anyway, I wrote about that in my book at shadowworked.com, shadowworked.com. You could check it out there. So I, when people used to thank me for my service in that time period, you know, even up to like 2019, I was just uncomfortable. You know, I was like, ah, you know, I don't, it's kind of like they're, I felt like from my point of view, they were like brainwashed and they just had to thank me for my service. And that's kind of what my joke was about. I'm like, you didn't know what you're just thanking me. Like, what if I was a, you know, pedophile or something? Like, you don't have no idea. So, which, you know, has happened allegedly with what those Black Hawk Down guys, anyway, that's in a whole other story. So I was just uncomfortable, just made me feel weird. And I was always trying to think of something funny or witty to say. And I was always like thinking of a new thing to say. And, but recently, or maybe in the past year or so, I came more to peace with it because I saw the intention behind what people were saying. I try to just focus on that. So now I see that they're actually, there's a part of them that's honoring me for the sacrifice that I made. And what I mean by that sacrifice is just, I just signed up for the Marines to go do shit that other people don't want to do to get paid like crap for and treated like crap. But I was willing to do that. And I thought I was serving my country and I might have at what, who knows, but you know, so I'm more honoring that and not the brainwash level of it. I'm just looking at them as a person and I'm a person and they're just trying to show me some appreciation. So I'm just taking it at that. And I'm like, thank you. I appreciate it. Cause I do. And then later we could talk about wars if we want, but this way I'm not, you know, it's, I find it helps in a couple ways because I'm not immediately just sticking a barrier between me and this person. You know, I'm not like, because I don't know how they feel about war and all this stuff. I could be offending them. I mean, they could have a dad that died in a war. You know, I could be totally just kicking them in the nuts and not even knowing it. So, yeah. And then if they do have a dad that died in the war and I come at it from a different angle, I could get them to agree with me instead of just trying to get confrontational right away. So, yeah, that's how that's evolved for me at this point in my life. And I think it's a much healthier place for me to look at it. Less stress, less crap. I don't, cause I used to get this, like when people think, I'm like, here it goes, they're going to thank you for my service. And then it was just this whole like routine in my head, you know? So, and then that's what I realized. It was just all in my head. So.
Yeah. I was listening to a podcast recently and the guy, the guest was talking and then he said something about, you know, so who did Tom, Dick, and Susie die for, you know, and I just, I paused it and I thought to myself, should these people have thought that they needed to die for anyone? I mean, it just, it like really opened my eyes to like the deception of like people dying for us and, you know, it's because of them that we are this or we are that, you know, we are allegedly free or because of them. And I don't see it that way. I mean, I think people are responsible for their own actions and I don't think anybody can save you from those things. And if they think that they're saving you, I mean, that's fine, but you don't have to think that they're saving you. I don't know. I'm just like,
no,
speculating here.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I think it's funny because I was listening to that same podcast of the Crow 777 podcast. We won't say what episode it was, but
I don't remember which one it was.
Yeah. I felt the same way though when I was listening because I was like, oh, this person, it seems, and this is the thing again, it's about what I was saying with thank you for your service. What the gentleman was saying is true. In context of, you know, you're just going to sit around and be lazy. And there's people who came before you that gave their life. That's true. These people gave their life for what they believed in. And people are sitting around being lazy when the tyranny that could it be the tyranny we face now is like a paper tiger. If you just stand up to it, it's going to, you know, if people sit up to it enough, it would just go away probably completely. So what I'm saying is, to a certain degree, what he's saying to prove his point is right. Now he's just using patriotism in this. I feel like it's an old, it's kind of dying away too. It's like an old way to persuade people to get people motivated, which is like, oh, these people died for you. You got to, you know, it's kind of like when you're trying to go to man to something like, oh, what are you, a pussy? You can't do that. What are you, some kind of pussy? You know, people would say that to me. Oh, you're a Marine and you don't want to do this. What are you, a pussy? And I'd be like, no, I don't fall for mind spells. I didn't know the verbiage then, but I'd be like, yeah, I guess I'm a pussy then. I don't know. What are we doing here, dude? Do you want to fuck me? Like, what's going on? But no, I would just be like, that doesn't work. Like, anyway, so, but no, I see it as the same kind of thing. But to get into, though, what that actually means and what it represents, I think there is a nugget of truth in there, because you could, you could face an exterior threat as a tribe, and then these people come in, they want to rob and whatever, plunder, and then you have to get some men together and fight them off. And then you could say, yeah, they saved the people in their community, but that's a totally different thing. But I think what they're, when they say that, they use that instinct we have, that archetype as a human, because I'm sure we've witnessed that, or we've, people in our past, I'm sure, have lived through that experience where there was actual people who did save them, but now they're using that archetype of a positive expression of self-defense, and they're using it in a negative way and an inverted way, in my opinion. People are using it, or people are allowing it to be used on them. Let's just say what it is. You know, they're allowing themselves to get tricked and duped. And these days it's so out in the open, man. It's like, just, you know, watch Loose Change, man. Come on. It's been out for like 16 years anyway. So, yeah, I think that's really more what it's about. You know, not that Loose Change is the answer. I'm just joking, everybody. Yeah, that's really what it's about. So I think you know what I'm saying, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you want to tell us the story about the college fair that you attended?
Yeah, this is going to go a little, it's a little, I'll just tell the story. So anyway, we'll talk about it after. So when I was in the Marine Corps, I fell through a window. Well, I was wrestling with a friend, and you could see, well, there's a couple tattoos here, but right here, oh, where's my camera? There's a scar here, right? And then there's a scar here. Basically, my arm was like all open. So I fell through a window. I was wrestling with a friend, fell through a window. And it was a crazy thing, because I was like bleeding everywhere. I had to take control of the situation. You know, it's another a point in my life where I probably saved my own life. Because I was really close to having a transfusion. They said when I got there, they're like, they had the IV in me to give me a transfusion. They're like, you're right on the edge because you lost so much blood. And I, even though I did lose a lot of blood, but I didn't lose, you know, I could have lost a lot more, but it's because I was so quick thinking. I like started a tourniquet. I had one of my friends call 911. I had another one finish the tourniquet. I applied pressure immediately to the wound, you know. All these crazy things. So anyway, it was a big fiasco. Ambulances were involved. There was a surgery, you know, and it was a small base at Woodby Island in Washington. And I'll give a shout out to Heather, because she lives in the Pacific Northwest, probably not too far from, I mean, whatever, who knows, but it's all the same to me. I'm in Connecticut. So
it's a small world.
It is a small world. And that's what I'm, yeah, exactly. We're getting there. So it was a base wide, people knew about it. You know, I was like semi-famous after that. It was pretty hilarious, especially because I had the injury, you know. And I was on this Navy base because I was learning.
Did you get a Purple Heart? I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I did. No, I didn't. I should have. I got a Red Hot right in my face. but I was like a semi quasi celebrity, because there weren't a lot of Marines on this base anyway. It was a base that had the aircraft that I worked on, and the aircraft, the Navy also had this aircraft. So they just sent us to this school to work with them or whatever. So there was like 10 Marines or 12 Marines on the base. And there's probably only a few hundred people in the, it wasn't a big base at all. But anyway, so all that happens, you know, then I go my whole thing in the Marines, blah, blah, blah. Then I get out of the Marines. This was 1995 that happened, in June of 95. I get out in like September of 98, and I go to a college fair, a local one here in Milford, Connecticut. And I was looking around, and I was like looking for, I was thinking about going to college and all this stuff. And then I was like, let me go talk to the recruiters, see if, you know, bust their balls. So I went to go talk to the Marine recruiters, and they were like jerks. I mean, they were like, all right, but they were like, not cool. I was like, whatever, dude. So then I was like, oh, I'm going to go talk to the Navy guys. Cause I was on a carrier. I was on a few Navy bases. I was like, maybe, you know, we'll see what happens. So I was talking to these guys, and this one guy was really cool, and we were talking, and I was like, so where have you been? And he was the name of the places. And he said, Woodby Island. I was like, dude, I was at Woodby Island. And he was like, when I was at Woodby Island, this is what he said. He's like, the day I got there, I was on watch, and these fucking Marines were like drinking, and one of them fell through a window and like fucked up his arm. And I was like, that was me, dude.
Holy freaking smokes, dude. Holy crap.
Yeah. How crazy. Small is
freaking.
That? Yeah.
World.
And I was like, they weren't drunk, by the way. I was like, we were not drunk. I was like, we just got done with our classes, and we always wrestled and we were just like fucking around. And I like had the dude down. I had him pinned. I'm like, all right, I'm getting up. And then I got up and he like came at me. And then so because of that, he felt so bad for like ever. I'm like, don't worry about it, dude. But anyway, so side story. Yeah. So it was fun. It was a fun experience. And then I would tell people I got like combat injured, like, you know, joke around at first. They're like, oh, I got a fucking bayonet injury. And there wasn't much going on. So people are like, where were you? Don't worry about where I was. No, it was fun times, fun times. But yeah, it was just crazy things like that. And then, you know, you're like, how many people? Because I told the story in the last episode about when I was in Italy in the Marine Corps and I ran into a guy. I was on my 21st birthday and I was in a bar and there was a guy in there from the band that was playing. And my birthday is around July 4th. So there was a big celebration for the 4th of July. They had a band from the States come. And it came out, the guy was like, oh, somebody was talking to me like, oh, we heard the band's from Connecticut. So I went over there and the guy's like, oh, yeah, I'm from Stratford, which is one town over for me. And I'm like, oh, my God. And then I was like, and something just told me to say this. I was like, oh, that's crazy. I'm like, my uncle used to be in bands. He's like, oh, what's your in Stratford? I was like, he was always in bands. And he's like, oh, what's his name? And I'm like, Brian Kane. And the guy turned white like a fucking ghost. And he's like, holy shit, you're little Brandon. He's like, I remember you from the wedding. Yeah, he used to be in my uncle's band back in the day in Italy.
In Italy?
In Italia. In Italia. He was like, you know, they hire out people from the States to come over all the time. The military does. They have MWR, what's called. It's like the side service that goes along with the Marines or the military. That's how, like, you know, when you see all the comedians go over there and do like the shows for the troops, it's the same thing. But yeah, it's so crazy. They just, dude, what are the odds that not only that he came to the same place, world. But he ended up in the same bar because it was the Air Force base. And this was a section of the flight line that was like some shithole tent city where they stuck all the Marines. And they just had one of these big, like there were the tents that we were in were, they were bigger tents. You could probably fit like, I think 8 of us lived in one. They were just sectioned off with like cubicles, right? We had this one little section, maybe 6 of us. And one they converted into a bar for the officers. I'm not an officer, but since it was my 21st birthday, they're like, come on in, Brandon. Brandon. And I'm just fucking in there. And then the dude, you know, of all the bars, there's all these bars in the town that you could go to with hot Italian women. These dudes are just hanging out with fucking, probably because they wanted to hang out with the Marines because they're, who knows, but you know, maybe they were gay. I don't fucking know, but no. Oh God, I'm going to stop this story. But anyway, I'm ruining my story. You know? Oh, they all sodomized each other after. No wonder it smelled like shit in there. No, I'm just
kidding. God.
This is the comedy, guys. This is the comedy I bring. But anyway, the true parts of that story are, yeah, but they just ended up in this bar and I ended up there. It's so, and I didn't really drink that time when I was in Italy. I didn't drink, but it was my 21st birthday. So I did drink. I mean, well, I drank on and off, but like the first time I went, I was
on drunk. Your 21st birthday, I would think that you were going to drink.
Yeah. But see the thing, when I was in the Marine Corps, the first year I was just drunk all the time or not. Yeah. Like what,
and we weren't even 21 yet.
Yeah. And then by the time I got back from the cruise, I was on the cruise and we drank all the time. And then I kind of was over it. And then I just met another friend that didn't drink at all. And we'd go to clubs and dance and hang out and, you know, womenize allegedly. And we didn't really drink. He didn't drink at all. I would have one once in a while. But so, yeah, anyway, I was like, I'm going to get drunk. So it was just so weird. All these things lined up for me to run into this dude that I knew from the other side of this plane of existence. It's so crazy. And then another quick story I'll tell is I was in Las Vegas one time and I was just walking around and I ran into somebody I knew, a girl that I knew was walking with a friend, and she was like, oh my God, Brandon. We just started talking, which, you know, a lot of people go to Vegas, but it's just crazy because
on that same day,
same place, there's so many casinos. So there's millions of people there. You know, you just walk by. Yeah. So anyway,
that is, it's crazy.
Nuts.
So still kind of on this whole like military or I suppose military topic, you were telling me that what we're experiencing as of last year, 2020, is more like a war, and you had some things to say about that.
I certainly did. Yeah. So I'm not the first one to say that what happened in 2020 is like a war, but I had this idea. Maybe I'm not the first one to say this either, but there's this new phase of the war that started in 2021 or whatever you're going to call it, right? This thing that's going on where you need a proof of medical procedure to certain places, like in New York City, you need this card to go and eat places. You need a proof of medical procedure. And I was thinking about this card, and I don't know why I forgot what brought this up, but it really started to remind me of the draft card from Vietnam, because they always talked about it being a card. I mean, I don't remember. I was born in 1976, so I just missed it. Damn it. I really wanted to go over there. But that was the thing. And there's people who were draft dodgers and they would burn their draft card and all this stuff, but it was a card. So it kind of blew my mind, because if you think of what it represents, a card, it's just like an identification card. And I was thinking about, like, we were talking about this, how the first time when, you know, you get your driver's license and you're so proud of it and you're showing people, it's what it technically is. It's like a talisman, right? We've talked about this before with symbols. And if you get a bunch of symbols, you make a sigil. And then if you get a few sigils arranged on something, it's a talisman, you know, kind of like, aha, I'll show some of my beautiful artwork here, right? So this is something I drew, like a lot of artwork I like to draw. And you could look at, there's all kinds of different symbols there. All the triangles can represent different things. You know, look at the head, the three on the head, the triangle, the square. If you're into a lot of esoteric stuff, you could just sit there and break it down what it means. Now, it could convey a message, and it doesn't have to be as complicated, but what it really does at the end of the day is it's a focal point for your attention. So it's grabbing your attention. And then just like money, because money at the end of the day, you know, fiat currency, it's just paper. You know, if everything went to shit, it would be nothing, just like it happened in the Soviet Union or whatever, right? Or the alleged Confederate money, right? It's worth nothing or whatever. So just like that, though, the reason our money is worth something is because it's a focal point of our attention. And what I mean by that, just in a physical sense, if you're driving down the street and you see a bunch of $100 bills, you're going to freaking stop. You know what I'm saying? And why? Because it's just paper. But then you'll drive by trash, which is more paper, and you just keep driving. Why do you stop? Because it's a literal talisman that gets your attention. And yes, obviously, you can go buy stuff and trade stuff. Why? Because other people are holding that same belief, right? So this card is the same thing. And then you were talking about, when we brought this up, you're saying how it's like, oh, it's another way for people to get people under mind control. And I'm like, yeah, it's a recycling of an idea. And it worked. So if it works, they're going to use it. So bravo to them. You know, they know it works. They're very efficient people who are at the top of the systems that organize this stuff are very organized, or very got their crap together. So anyway, yeah, that's the thing I want to bring up. And it's hilarious because we were trying to think of a funny name, and we were going to actually, right now, if you're in the chat or if you're listening to this later and you want to comment, please comment under what we can call that card. Because we were thinking, like, you know, the inoculation card or whatever we were going to say, but we wanted to keep it funny, but no victim. So what we came up was, because I was saying, I don't want to call it a whatever, jab, you know, people are calling it a jab and all this stuff. I was like, no, let's just call it a proof of medical procedure, because that's what it is. And then I'm like, oh my God, PMP. I'm like, that's a pimp. I'm like, it's a pimp card. People are literally carrying around a pimp card. So from now on, I'm like, yo, you got your pimp card on you? I need to see that now, because you're being pimped. It's proof of medical procedure. And it's like a pimp, because it's an experimental medical procedure. You're being pimped, which is even worse.
Messed up.
You're getting the E instead of the I. I'd rather get if I was going to get anything, I'd rather get the I. At least it's, you know, the E is, it's gonna hurt. Anyway, that was gross. Sorry, everybody, for that mental picture, but seriously.
Yeah, well, I it totally went over my head, but I told you before, I grew up under a rock, so.
Yeah, I'm not going to explain this one, so it's fine anyway. People are probably laughing underneath.
Yeah,
anyway,
so I'll have to get it later.
Yeah, maybe. You don't want to get it at all. Trust me.
I won't get it. I just won't. I won't review this.
It has message to do with sodomy.
Oh, stop.
I said I'd rather take the I.
Okay.
Than the okay, E, because okay. The E, yeah, okay.
Yeah, let's just move on. But anyway, if anybody can top Pimp Dodger or Pimp Card.
Yeah. Yeah, we want to hear about it, and if not, just start using it, dude. We go, but oh, pimp my pimp card. Oh, I don't have a pimp. I'm sorry. I don't I don't have proof of medical procedure. I have no pimp. I'm a free hoe. Yo, I hoe where I go where I want to go. I hoe for me. That's why I hoe for. I hoe for yo. That's Spanish for I. See, I'm bilingual.
Oh, snippity snaps.
I love this episode. This is great.
And even in Italian, which you learned how to speak a little bit because io is myself or me.
Allora, cosa voglio fare adesso?
Bellissimo, bambino. Spaghetti.
That's
my Italian.
Voglio fare adesso, which means, so what do you want to do now? Which is great because it gets us right back on topic because we were talking about pimp cards. And the next thing we're going to talk about is being...
the health industry.
Exactly. And that's the way we're going to segue in, because who are you a pimp to? Dun, 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 the health industry. So anyway, this is something I came up because of, I'll just say a weird circumstance. So I just want to say, not that there's anything wrong with me, Sharon, but, and this is the thing, we don't like to give advice on the show. So, and we don't give medical advice by any means, but if you ever got sick, Sharon, or had a disease. Sorry, I think I had something in my throat. If you ever had a disease, a dis-ease, if you found one in your body, what would you do, Sharon?
Well, it,
you know, say you wake up tomorrow and you get one of these alphabet acronym diseases people are talking about, you know, something like that. And again, not to be insensitive here, but not AIDS anyway. That's, we're not talking about AIDS. We talk about AIDS enough. Another one, you know, MS, whatever, all these
ALS. Yeah. All these acronyms of
which things. I have a friend that is seriously affected by that guy I used to do comedy with, actually. So yeah, it's fucking crazy, man. So anyway, what, because you know, we've talked before about like terrain theory and germ theory, and this is something you could look into if you're coming across this for the first time. But basically, terrain theory is stating that, you know, it's not people getting other people sick. It's toxins in your environment. It's the toxins you put into your body. It's the, and when it appears that you're getting somebody else sick, it's more of a sympathetic response to toxins in your environment. Could it be? That's the theory proposal. And there's actually some evidence behind it. But anyway, so Sharon.
Yeah.
Based and on if you're, go ahead. Yeah. Yeah.
I was just going to say, and if you're interested in that topic, you can review Crow 777 episode 363. Because they recently did a whole breakdown on that as well. Although I'm sure there are plenty of other episodes where they talk about the same thing.
But yeah. And there's a few episodes on this channel where I talk to a couple of doctors and talk about it too.
That's so. Right. You did. You did. Absolutely.
We can do all that stuff. But if you're caught up to that, we'll just get right into it. So Sharon, if you found yourself with a disease in your body, and I think you have actually, but what would you do?
Disease is simply... this exactly what you said, dis-ease. So it is, you are not easy. You're not feeling ease in your body. And this whole concept of, I said bucketizing, but like pigeonholing all these dis-eases into buckets and saying, oh, it's called this, it's called this, it's called that, it's called cancer. It's called uterine cancer. It's called ALS. It's called MS. It's all these things, right? I don't see that as the name of something. I see it. I see the whole body as being affected. And I go back to ancient Chinese medicine or even Ayurveda, which is like the Indian variety. And I'm not saying that they're both the same or identical, but because I think there's, you know, I don't like to use the word multiple ways to skin a cat, but that terminology, like there's multiple ways to address these situations. And I have found that there, you know, there's different people out there, naturopaths, there's Chinese medical practitioners, there's Ayurvedic practitioners. And I had never met any yet that I felt like where I was comfortable going to them to discuss things that I mean, I feel like I have some symptoms of certain things, but I don't, and I know that it's probably all related, just little things here and there that are manifesting. And it's not just like, oh, I'm getting old or this, that, no, it's, there's something going on. So what I recently did was I started seeing a chiropractor because that's what, well, I was seeing someone, but because he gave into the whole muzzling of people going into the office, I decided to use up my visits that I had with him. I know. I couldn't believe it either, but I was just kind of disappointed in that. I really liked him. I mean, I still like him, but I mean, I'd rather go to someone who's going to give me the option to wear something if I want to or not. So the one I'm seeing right now, he's very much on that wavelength with me. And in fact, when we first had our first discussion, when I first went to see him, I told him about that. And he said, he was just kind of like, wow, because he was on the same page with me, or shall I say on the same wavelength with me. So I was seeing him, and then over meeting different people, I came across someone who recommended this ancient Chinese medical practitioner. And I was very excited to go see her because I've always wanted to see someone who has this ancient wisdom and this ancient knowledge about the chi in the body and all these things that are interconnected. Like every single tooth in your body has importance, and it's related to different organs in your body. So if you're experiencing something with a tooth, let's say one of them is like liver oriented, then that means something's going on with your liver. It's kind of like a telltale. It's like telling you, okay, if this tooth hurts, something's up with the liver. And so you should get that looked into and cleanse the liver, or whatever it is you need to do to address that. But that's the thing. Things manifest in different parts of the body. So you can't just bucketize and pigeonhole these things into like, oh, it's just the tooth, so go to the dentist. No, it's all related. Like the whole body, it's all interconnected. So I've had this pain in my foot, in my left foot, for like over a year now, that I deal with it because I was trying to go see, like I said, I was trying to go see the chiropractor to help me out with that, but that ended because of what I said. And I stopped seeing him for a few months, and then I found this new one. So I was starting to address that again with the new chiropractor. But of course, he wanted to make sure that I'm healthy and I'm aligned in my whole body, which I appreciate because I do want to be correctly postured and everything as well. So he's helping me work on my posture. And I'm cool with that. That's good. So, but the thing was, the foot thing wasn't like, I wasn't feeling like that was getting addressed. Right. But I've only seen him a couple of times. So, but I heard about this ancient Chinese medical practitioner, and I was like, I really want to see her because I want to get this really under control. And I want to heal my foot and my hamstring too, one of my hamstrings, because I think I overdid yoga. I kind of hit the ground running with the yoga, and I was like a couple months into it, I was like, oops, I hurt my hamstring. And now, yeah. So it's like now my foot and my hamstring. And I was like, so it's just been kind of a pain in the butt. So I went to go see her for the first time yesterday, and she has an office of people that do acupuncture, and the acupuncturist specializes in pain. So he's basically a pain doctor via acupuncture. And then there's also a massage therapist there, but this dude, that's the massage therapist, I think there are two, but I got the dude, basically as he's like, okay, he's standing like, I'm on the table face down, and he's standing, he's over here. And so he's pushing on my back like this with his hands. And as he's going like this, I can hear my back cracking. Boom, boom. Like I was just cracking. I'm like, dude, you're like a chiropractor and a massage therapist at the same time. It was so bizarre. It was so amazing. And it was great. So I got that done, and then I got the acupuncture done. And I was just like, you know, we'll see what happens. Well, the acupuncturist told me, He's like, see me four more times for the pain. He's like, and in four visits, I can address pain. It'll be gone in four visits. And I'm like, okay. Like, I'm like going to take your word for it now and we'll see what happens, you know? So this morning I get out of bed and I totally didn't even notice because I went to the restroom. And then as I'm walking out of the restroom, I'm like, wait, my foot. Holy smokes. It's like, I didn't have to hobble to the restroom this morning. Cause usually in the morning is the worst because I feel like it's like there's inflammation in my foot. And I didn't say why it started, but I think it started because I overdid the walking like June of 2020 last year when I stopped working. I just started walking immediately and I was doing 4 to 5 miles a day walking like every day. So I think I overdid something with my foot, and now it's it the pain comes and goes, and then it's like sometimes it's really sharp and sometimes it burns, and so I've been wanting to address that for a while, but I just didn't know. Besides chiropractic, I didn't know. So when I came across somebody who told me about this Chinese medical practitioner, I was excited, and I gave her a list of other things I want to address that are related to other things that I was told I've been diagnosed with back like almost 10 years ago. But I've just been, I never did anything about it because I wasn't going to let them perform surgery on me and like resect any of my organs. I'm like, no, I can heal this naturally and I'm not going to let you touch me. So I've been, and it's not like I have symptoms from those things that I know of, but I definitely can ask her now about all those things and see how my body's doing with respect to all those things. And now I feel, I'm just excited about it. I feel comfortable because like already I saw, it was like literally, it felt like a 90% reduction in pain and inflammation. It was huge. I just can't, it's unexplainable. It's just natural. And it makes sense to me. It made sense to me back in 2011 when I started my blog about natural healing. And it was about eating right and cleaning your diet, which that's when I started to do that back in 2011. Late 2011 is when I started. And then I think 2012 is when I started that blog, but I haven't used that blog in a while. But I mean, my perspective on healing was always from when I started that blog was you can heal anything. You can reverse a lot of things. I mean,
yeah, that's kind of what my question was too.
From
thank
nature.
You for sharing that great story. That was amazing about your pain reduction and everything. But yeah, that's so what are the steps that somebody could take that finds themselves maybe they're in a more of a mainstream point of view and then they're like, oh, this is kind of crap, or they want to try something new. You know, is there a pill they can go take or something, or can't they just call somebody and like, you know, get a magic healing crystal? Like, what do you got to do? What's the first step, Sharon?
Yeah, it's not overnight, right? I mean, these things happened over time. I hurt my foot over time. So it's going to take some time for me to reverse some of these things, right? I wouldn't say there's a magic pill, but I guess I can say that there are some things, some steps that you can take. One of them is to address your diet. If you're eating out a lot, if you're eating food that isn't fresh, that you're not making yourself, if you're ordering out, buying food that's in a carton or a box or packaged, if you're not even reading the labels and seeing what the ingredients are, I think step one would be to do that. Just identify, what are you eating? And what I did back in 2011 was I started to address all the things that I was eating. And I started lowering the carbs. I went kind of low carb. I didn't call it paleo at the time because I don't think that word existed. At least that I knew of. It came around later, but I just started eliminating a lot of those heavy carbs, especially from eating out and things. But I wasn't hard on myself. I just said, okay, look, I work, so it's easier for me to eat out for lunch. So when I eat out for lunch, if I'm going to eat a hamburger and fries and a drink, I'm going to do this instead. I'm going to do the hamburger with no bun and fry, and then I'll have fries. And I, instead of a soda, I'll have iced tea. And then I was still having sugar in my iced tea, but then I started like bringing that level down until I didn't need the sugar in my tea anymore. And then I was okay drinking it without, but I was just basically, I wasn't being hard on myself. I was like, okay, this is how I eat right now. And this is what I'm going to do to start bringing it down. So I either have no bun and the fries or no fries and a bun. You know, I tried to say, okay, you know what? Pizza is, that's a lot of, so maybe I won't eat pizza. I'll start targeting like foods that have more protein or things that have more like vegetables, like salads and stuff like that. So that's how I started doing that. But, you know, over time then I was like, you know what, I can make this at home myself. And so, you know, I started doing that until I was like, okay, what are the ingredients on these packages that I'm getting at the store? Like, I can't read that, like monosodium glutamate by proxy, whatever. And I'd be like, I don't know what that is. So maybe I shouldn't buy this thing. So I was being very careful with, I started to become very aware of what ingredients were in things and buying only, if I was buying packaged food, then it would have to have the minimal amount of ingredients possible. So that's kind of how I started doing that. And then it started changing over to like, okay, what am I putting on my skin? What am I using for deodorant? What are the ingredients in that deodorant? Can I make my deodorant myself? Out of coconut oil or baking soda and essential oils and things like that. What toothpaste am I using? Can I make my own tooth powder? Can I make my own tooth oil? What shampoo am I using? Just all the things that, because your skin is your biggest organ. And so you're kind of ingesting all of that into your skin. And, you know, what am I washing my hands with? What's the soap that I'm using? I switched over to Castile soap, and then I would drop essential oils in it that were like anti, you know, not anti, but like they were just things like Melaleuca, which is tea tree oil, or rosemary, because those are like more, they allegedly kill things like bacteria and fungus and stuff like that. So, but yeah, I mean, it was over time that these things started happening. I didn't do it all at once. I mean, you can't, it's overwhelming. So you just have to start somewhere, but taking, you know, addressing those things. Of course there's other things you can do. Like you can learn about a detox protocol that you can perform on your body for whatever it is that you need. Some people do like coffee enemas and things like that. I tried those some years ago. I don't do them now, but I have tried them. There's other, you know, there's a lot of other things that you can look into. I would say another major thing that you can do is to address your emotional health as well, because stress and emotions that are not being dealt with, like if you're repressing them or take, you know, you're not allowing yourself to grieve things that have happened in the past, then it's not emotionally healthy. And those things tend to cause you to have dis-ease in your body. Because if you're not caring for yourself, I think it was one of those videos by that guy, John, from, I forgot which African country he was in, but one of those videos that Brandon and I have talked about, he was talking about if your body If you're not taking care of your body will find a disease to manifest so that you can start learning to take care of your body. So yeah. That's and basically,
just to cut in really quick, it's like showing it attention. If are you listening to your body? Are you listening exactly. to the needs and the emotional needs, like you said? Because if they go unexpressed, then they could express themselves in another way, such as the disease. I just wanted to throw that in there. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And so those are just some of the things that I think can help people, because again, I don't think that going to a current medical establishment of the allopathic variety is going to be very helpful to anyone right now, because all they are doing is they're going, oh, your foot hurts. Okay, here's a pain pill. Oh, you have cancer. Oh, let's just take it out and spread it all over your body. So it spreads all over the rest of your body. And then you can come back later and we can cut more stuff out of you. And it's just, you know, and give you chemo because that really kills the rest of your entire body.
Yeah. I think what you're saying is like, it goes against nature. It goes against what feels to be right. And most people would even agree with you, but they just think that the experts agree and this is the high tech medicine. So, you know, again, we're not making claims. Do with this information what you will. We're just talking about we do in our own lives. And one thing I wanted to bring up, which is really important, is your water. Because if you're just drinking water from the tap, you don't know what the chlorine could be doing to you. You know, look into the long-term effects of chlorine buildup.
And fluoride.
Yeah, I was going to say fluoride too. That's another thing that people are aware of. So look into that, because I've been talking about fluoride for a while. At first, it sounded like I was crazy, but now people are starting to listen because they're actually coming out with the evidence that it's not good, and they're starting to stop it in certain places. But anyway, that's one thing that I want to say. So your water, you know, you can get a double reverse osmosis, whatever they call it, under sink filter. You know, I have one that's I have a filter that's kind of like a Brita, but it filters out like 99.9 whatever percent, including like fluoride and all the stuff. So it's not as ideal as an under sink one, but it's something, you know, it's little steps. And when you're doing this, the other thing you're doing is you're actually showing your body attention. You're giving your body attention. You're listening to your body. Your body's going to respond, like we were saying before, because when you're not doing this, this is when your body will respond dis-ease, could it be? But when I do these things, I notice that my body responds in a much positive manner. And this
you're prioritizing yourself.
Yeah, because some of these foods cost more expensive, or some of these foods are more expensive. These treatments can cost some money, but really what it is, it's just an investment in my future health. So I don't have to worry about battling a major disease. Hopefully I'll just do it a little bit at a time as it comes up. I just deal with things in my life, or I try to. That's one thing I wanted to bring up. And then the other thing I want to bring up was I figure out how I could explain to you before that thing you didn't get. Think of a coffee enema. Remember before I was talking about an I or an E? If you had a coffee enema, would you rather have it shaped like an I or an E? That's what I was saying. But anyway, E. Yeah. So no, I think that's all great things that you do and you've done in your life. And, you know, if somebody likes your example, they could follow, but we're just talking about what we do.
You had mentioned water, and I remember watching an episode of my friend Kella's podcast, Recalibrate, where she was talking to a friend who was talking about getting water from a spring. If you have availability, if you're local to a spring like that. But she also talked about something called Kangen water, which I'd never heard of until that episode. It's spelled K-A-N-G-E-N. And I just looked it up right now. It's K-A-N-G-E-N hyphen water hyphen machines.com. That's just one of the first links I found. Mind you, the results from the search engine were trying to get me to go to a page that said, is Kangen water a scam? So,
oh, good.
You might see that one too.
Good. Look into that and see what they have to say. I always look in just to see, because you never know. Yeah. I don't want to be biased. You know, I don't want to have confirmation bias and say, oh, this website thinks it's bullshit. Good. I'll read it. And a lot of times those articles are just clickbait, mm-hmm. you know, or maybe they found the right answer and they just want you to click on it. Yeah. So anyway, you know that though. That's for the viewers.
Yeah. So she talked about this in her episode about water, and it was really, really very interesting. So I don't have one of these machines because I guess they're really expensive. But, you know, again, if you want to listen to your body, you want to give it attention, do what it's asking you to do. It may be telling you need to change your water source.
Yeah. And one thing I do want to say too is, because before we move on from this topic, there is a trap too. There's certain people you could follow online, and there's a lot of people who give you a lot of good advice, and there's other people who give you good advice, and then they try to, or they're selling products, and some of these products are good, some aren't good, some whatever it is. Just do your own research. You know, it's not like you could just go to the internet and that's the answer. That's, again, that I feel like it's just another way for people to take their personal responsibility and to hoist it onto somebody else. So since you are a unique being, you need to realize that and look into what works and try different things. That's what I've done. I've tried all kinds of different things to see what works. Acid seems to work great, so I do it all the time. Oh, no. But yeah, no, you just experiment and see what works. And I think it's about that. And then you realize that what I have started to do is you look at food more as a fuel, and you can start to get away from your attachment, because allegedly we need food to survive. Here's a good time for your joke. And so if you need that food to survive, I forgot what I was saying, because I was thinking of your hilarious joke, but yeah, you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, I think it's because we were talking about kind of solutions to how we can, you know, break out of this. And you wanted to bring up the topic of, did you say agorism, or how did you?
Agorism, yeah. Yeah. So, you know, we talked about solutions last time, basically with tomatoes. You know, you can grow your own food. You could do that. But not everyone does that, do they, Sharon?
No. I've been asked, like, if I've started my own, like, little farm in my backyard, or if I've started growing things, and I said no. And I was telling Brandon about it, and I said, maybe I'm too lazy, because I am actually potentially thinking that maybe, could it be, I am on the path of becoming a breatharian. So I wouldn't know what to do with all that food that I grew in the backyard.
Well, I can tell you what you could do with all that food.
Sell it, give it away.
Agorism.
Do tell.
Okay. So this is a concept I came across when I was in the circles of, like, the ANCAPs, the anarcho-capitalists. Mm-hmm. And this one guy who didn't refer to himself as an ANCAP. He said, I'm an agorist. He's like, it's very close. And I was like, ooh, do tell. So I listened further on his podcast, and he explained how, what agorism is basically you just get by in the best manner that you can, that's available to you. So it's really like living the path of Christ. Spoiler alert.
Oh my God.
But what it's doing is what you do is you interact with Babylon, quote unquote. You go to the grocery store when you have to, but you try to make things yourself, do things yourself, grow stuff, and you try to trade. You try to get around as many things as you can. We're not telling you not to pay taxes. We're just saying, like, to get around all these things. You know, you say donation, you do donation base, you do bartering, which is totally legal in the tax code, and you don't have to pay taxes for that, all this stuff. So it's about just doing it one step at a time, just like eating better. It's the same thing. And as you do it, because you can't just, I mean, you could, right? There's ways to do it. All right. So if you're one person who just has the money and you could just fucking detach from the system and go buy a homestead, great. But if you're not one of these people and you're like, what can I do? I got to drive, you know, it's one step at a time, and that's what it is. And you can make it a fun journey. You know, it's not always going to be a positive experience. You're going to probably encounter some hardships and some speed bumps in the road, but it's like, everything you can do one thing at a time, you know, and that's what I do, like, with my tarot readings. You know, sometimes people that don't pay me cash, they can do other things and pay in other ways, or they could just send me
silver coins.
Yeah. Like spoons. Our lovely friend Silver Carissa, spoons. She sent me some, and then she came by and just she crashed
with
me.
Did she give you a silver spoon?
No, she didn't give me some. That would have been great. Yeah. No, she gave me some even better. She gave me some kombucha that she made herself, and she sent me some ahead of time. So it's like stuff like that. I would rather have some kombucha because then I don't have to go to the store. It saves me from going to the store, having to buy it, and then looking at the ingredients. Like you said, now I know she made it. She knows what's in it. So yeah,
she knows what's in it, not you.
She know, yeah, right. God, I used to be black. What the fuck happened? Spoons, Jesus, she's turning everyone white. No, but anyway, yeah. So, that's in a nutshell. That's what agorism is. This guy, I think his name was Sal the Agorist. Look up his show; it's really cool. I haven't listened in a while, but it was a really good show. He would talk about different things, and they have meetups and stuff, and. But it's just something you do every day in your life. And it's all the solutions that we're going to talk about are just part of this agorism.
Yeah, it's already, I feel like it's something that I was already kind of mentally preparing to do. You know, over the last several years, I just felt like lots of things were being, I don't even know how to say it, but like I used to say like, God is taking away so many things from me, but I didn't mean it in like a negative or bad way, but in a way that was like, he's eliminating all the things I don't need so that I can focus on the things I do need. And so then it was like, I don't need junk food. I don't need food that has processed ingredients. I don't need. So now I'm more focused. Now, like, I used to go to Target and I'd sit in front of the aisle of like deodorants and shampoos and body washes. And I'd be like, which one do I get? Because it's so overwhelming. There's so many brands, there's so many smells, there's so many all kinds. So it would just like overwhelm me. And when I realized I could make my own stuff at home, I was like, I don't need to go to the freaking store to buy this crap. All this crap that has ingredients for my body that my body does not need. In fact, my body doesn't know what to do with all the toxic crap in there. So it was like, I just felt like I was being, it was leaning me. It was like, I don't know how to say, like I was being more lean and like,
you were letting things go. You were letting things go and you were engaging in a more agorist lifestyle, but you were also showing your body more attention.
Right.
You're giving then, some self-love. Go ahead.
Yeah, totally. And then food too. And then I was doing that with the food. And then it was like, oh, well, I don't need to eat those kinds of foods. I can eat these kinds of foods. So now it was like eliminating options that I didn't need. So it was like, well, if I go to that restaurant, they don't have what I can eat. So I'm just not going to go there anymore. That sort of thing. So it was like eliminating all these like options. Because for me as a Libra, options are like way too much. Like I get overwhelmed and then I'm like, well, I guess I ain't picking anything. Or I stand there for like hours trying to figure out what it is I'm going to do. So it was very, very freeing as well.
Plus you're a woman, which doesn't help.
I know.
I'm the same way. I can never decide. I'm like, ugh. I bring the comedy, guys, the comedy. Go ahead.
Yeah. So like when it came to food too, like, it was like, okay. So I was like on the whole paleo and then they started calling it keto because then it was high fat and whatever. I mean, I just started to see like, it was becoming too trendy. Right. And so that's why I lately just call it like a low carb lifestyle but even still, that doesn't really describe what I do. I just eat more clean is basically what I'm doing. Like if I buy a packaged product, the ingredients have to be like very short and usually it's organic for the most part, if possible.
Yeah. And watch out for natural flavors, everybody. That's all I gotta say. Just look like into that. We won't even talk, just not you.
But if it says that in the description of the ingredients, I won't even buy it.
There you go.
Cause I'm like, no, thanks. No, thanks. It tells me that's not for me. Yeah. That's not for me. I don't need that. I can eat something else that doesn't have that ingredient in it.
Yeah.
Like chocolate. There are very few chocolates out there, chocolate bars that I can eat. Well, that I will allow myself to eat. And one of them is called Theo. It's a Theo brand. And they like in the, if you're looking at all the ones that have like ink, like other things in them, then you're going to start getting into more ingredients on the list. I stick to like the dark chocolate without anything, or like the salted almond, or, you know, just very, very, maybe those two, maybe one more, but they have to not have like a full list of things.
Yeah.
Because it can go crazy. And yeah, yeah, so that natural flavors will, yeah, soy. Oh, so it doesn't have, Theo's doesn't have soy lecithin. Oh,
yeah, yeah,
it doesn't. Awesome. Oh, yeah,
lecithin. Okay,
exact. Yeah, I avoid that one as well. Anything that says soy or soy lecithin. Ooh, I got my package.
Ooh, got a package, people.
Yay! So, so yeah, so then it was like food, and then with all this addressing of the food, I'm trying to remember what I was going to say. So then I thought to myself at some point, I was like, because I was always more on when it came to like people who were vegetarian. And because growing up, I always told my mom, like, I am always going to be a carnivore. I'm always going to eat meat. Like, I don't know how people can give up meat. Right. But I find myself now not like having that necessarily feeling like that's holding me, like
you're not like, identifying with that anymore.
Yeah. I mean I will eat some, like these days I will, but I'm almost like going, could I do without sometimes? Yeah, I think I could. And then could I get to the point maybe to not have any? I think I could. And is that a bad thing? I don't think so, because in the last year, I've noticed how little I need to eat. Like, I don't need to eat all this stuff. I really don't. I feel like I end up like gaining weight when I eat more than like even two meals a day. I'm like still maintaining weight. So adding a third meal, like I'd freaking balloon. Like, I don't need all that food. And yeah, it's just like, so it's just, it's almost like it's just becoming easier to like let things go. And so if someday, I figured if someday I can get to being a vegetarian, then someday I could probably be a breatharian. So here we go. Like, I'm cool with whatever happens. And like you're saying, agorist is like, whatever you're faced with, just deal with it in that moment. And that's where I'm at. I'm just like, if I come to the point where there's no food in my refrigerator or in my pantry, I think I'll be okay. I'm not going to be upset about it. It is what it is. I'll figure things out. It's not like that was what was meant to happen. And then maybe that'll give me practice for being a vegetarian or a breatharian or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, not that it's bad to be prepared, but I hear exactly what
you're
saying.
No, yeah. No, like, exactly, I'm just like mentally, mentally prepared for that if that were to happen.
Yeah. And I think the mental preparation is just as important as the physical preparations.
Oh, it's huge. I think it's the most important.
For sure. Could it be?
Yeah. So how do you feel? Oh, it's 4:44 for me.
All right, perfect. I think we should wrap this episode up then. That's a great sign because we've been on for 4:33 total. Well, no, this call has been going, I'm sorry, we haven't been on for 4 hours and 33 minutes, but I've been on Zoom because I was talking to Adam earlier and then we got this going. So I've been on for quite some time now. It's 7:44 where I am. Yeah, so I think we did cover everything that we wanted to on this episode. And, you know, thank you everybody for listening and for chatting along and for commenting, and let us know. I don't know if we ever said that, but let us know what you think your name is for the card, what the better name is. Put it in the chat below or put it also in the comments below. If you have a better name than Pimp Card, or if you have your own that you want to use, Pimp Card.
Indeed.
All right, Sharon, what do we say to the good people, the nice, fine listeners, men and women, I'll say, not people?
That if you're not over Sharon,
you're totally not Karen. More to come later, guys. See you later.